You know, it's interesting, even though it's unusual, again, 1% was the figure, now maybe it's 2%. It's interesting when you ask breast cancer patients, and we did some town meetings a couple years ago with breast cancer patients, we gave them keypads and had researchers present issues to them. And one of the things we asked them was, what level of concern do you have about A, B, C, D, E, F, G side effects of chemo, adjuvant chemo? And interestingly, even though it's very uncommon, they rated the risk of cardiomyopathy one of the highest adverse things, the things they didn't like.
Is that right?
Kind of intuitive, I guess, but it was just interesting that they picked up on that, even though it's very uncommon. Any thoughts about non-anthracycline regimens, particularly in the node-negative patients? And again, have these data made you rethink your choice of chemo in the node-negative patient?
Well, I'd sure like to not have to give an anthracycline. Clearly, the myelodysplasia, acute leukemia, and congestive heart failure is real, especially in a node-negative patient who is getting a small benefit from the chemo. I think we have some nice ongoing studies looking at replacing anthracyclines. I'm not a huge fan of CMF, although some of my colleagues still feel there's a time and a place. I think we have lots of trials that suggest that there are some better regimens for the group as a whole. There's probably a subpopulation that does just fine with CMF, but I also wonder if that's not a group that does just fine with endocrine therapy alone as well, especially with better endocrine therapy. So the CALGB 49907 trial looking at AC versus paclitaxel, not added together, but just one or the other, and it's 4 versus 6 cycles. I think that's an important study. Could you just give a taxane in a node negative or 1 to 3 node positive population? And in the older population, women over 65, HIMUS is running another CALGB trial looking at AC or CMF, your choice, if that's what you're randomized to, versus capecitabine as a single agent in the adjuvant setting in women over 65. I think those are great studies that, especially in the lower risk group, may prove that a single agent that doesn't have a lot of the CHF and the leukemia risk could be substituted.
I'd like to pick up on both of those studies. I think they're really interesting, innovative studies. Now, the first study that you mentioned in node-negative patients, I believe the AC is given dose dense, even though it's only AC.
Right. The AC and the paclitaxel are given dose dense
every
2 weeks with growth factors. Correct.
Well, I guess I should backtrack and say, what is your usual regimen in node-positive patients?
In node-positive, off-study,
right.
I actually am a fan of dose dense AC paclitaxel. You know, SWOG has a lot of experience with metronomic dosing, and so I do use that in very high-risk, locally advanced patients neoadjuvantly.
And actually, we know that both in clinical researchers as well as community docs right now, dose dense is by far and away the most common regimen. A lot of those docs do say they use dose dense AC in node negative patients without the taxane. Do you do that?
I have done it because you get done faster and there's really no significant increase in myelotoxicity when you add the growth factor. But frankly, if I feel strongly enough that a patient really needs chemotherapy, I'm usually being pretty aggressive. It's interesting to play it all out on Adjuvant Online, for example.
Right.
You know, the first generation versus the third generation regimens do. Usually in a node negative, ER positive or lower risk patient, you aren't getting much benefit from the first generation, and you can't really make a case until you go to the third generation. So I don't give just plain old AC without a taxane all that often anymore, looking at all the trials that have come out. I don't think it's inferior to give it dose dense. I think you get it done sooner, but I'm not sure that it improves the efficacy either. It may be all in the taxane.
You know, it's interesting. What I hear is that people start seeing people, quote, sail through dose dense, and then they start to see their non-dose dense AC patients having more trouble. Really, it seems like it's a totally side effects, toxicity, quality of life, getting through quickly, nothing about, you know, and hopefully it'll be efficacy, but more on that basis. I guess the big thing about using the Q2 weeks and the growth factor is the cost and I guess side effects of Neulasta. What do you see incidentally in terms of side effects of dose-dense, specifically of Neulasta?
Well, you get some joint and muscle aches and pains, and we've known that. Overall, the patients are on treatment about a month less, though, and so most of them want to keep going, even though they recognize that the addition of the growth factor is causing them some symptoms. Occasionally, a patient will question it or have a lot of problems, and we start a non-steroidal and try to help get them through it.
What do you see in terms of post-chemotherapy fatigue? Once they get to the very end of their chemotherapy, generally how they feel, fatigue, how long it takes them to recover, dose dense AC versus non-dose dense AC, dose dense AC paclitaxel versus non-dose dense?
I think while patients are on treatment, the dose dense does catch up a little bit. So there is a bit more fatigue. And post-treatment, when they're in the recovery phase, I don't see a huge difference just kind of subjectively in the recovery phase. Their patients are variable, and there are some patients who have 90% of their energy level back within a month or two, and then there are others where a year later they're still saying, you know, that they're 10 to 20% below their baseline before we started chemo. Who knows how much of that is related to putting them through menopause, and you know, I treat a lot of young women, and that clearly has an impact as well. I haven't seen a huge difference, Neil, in adding a taxane or not in terms of the recovery time once you're done with the chemo. Actually, I think some patients start recovering a little bit when they stop the anthracycline and start the taxane. A lot of my patients say they're already starting to feel a bit better.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.